There's that famous story of how during the building of the bridge, these gigantic monkeys were bringing such huge trees and huge rocks and chanting the name of Ram, putting them down in the sea. Can you imagine what a blissful sound this must have been? Wouldn't you love to hear the construction of the bridge across the Indian Ocean? The sounds of the monkeys lifting big peaks of mountains. I've lived in Chopati long enough to know what construction sounds like. So this little squirrel, he was just pushing little pebbles of dirt on the bridge. And to get the job done faster, he'd jump in the water and get wet. Then he'd roll in the dirt. And then he'd jump on the rocks and roll on the rocks and leave all those particles of dirt on his hairs on the rocks. And this way he was trying to help build the bridge. And Sri Ramchandra appreciated his efforts as much as he did to Hanuman, Angada, Nila, Nala, and all the other monkey Mahajan, Maharatis. Because Ram declared, I accept a person's devotion. All of you powerful monkeys, you are lifting with all of your powers and giving with all of your hearts. And this insignificant little squirrel is doing the same. Therefore, I see no difference between his service and yours. After the bridge was complete, these monkey soldiers, they were wild. They were wild with ecstasy. They were going to now fight for Ram. They were real Kshatriyas. They were just longing for this battle to fight for Ram. They were howling and screaming. The bridge was complete in 5 days. It was an incredible bridge. Lord Ramchandra led the way on the shoulder of Hanuman. And behind him was Lakshman on the shoulder of Angada. Behind them were streams of countless monkeys carrying rocks and trees as weapons, eager to fight. And Vibhishan and his four ministers, they were on the other side of the ocean. At the end of the bridge, guarding the bridge to fight off any Rakshasas that dared to disturb the construction of Ram's servants. Laying down their lives if necessary to protect the bridge for Ram's passage. They marched. It was like a swarm of these gigantic warriors, like a river, an 80-mile-wide river of monkeys. Ravana sent some spies to look to see what was happening. They reported to Ravana, they've already crossed. They've already encamped on the shore of Sri Lanka. They've surrounded the entire city. And at the same time, the whole 800-mile and 80-mile-wide bridge is totally covered by more monkey soldiers coming. And on the other side of the ocean, there's another ocean of monkeys, countless monkeys, 100 miles long, just waiting to cross the bridge. The spy said, "In my opinion, Ravana, it's better if you return Sita now." But Ravana would not hear it. The monkey soldiers surrounded the city of Sri Lanka. And from within the city, they heard the tumultuous sound of war drums beating violently by the rakshasas. But when the monkeys heard this, although it was terrifying to the ears, the monkeys roared. And in roaring, they drowned out completely the sound of the rare war drums and wreaked fear into the hearts of the rakshasas. When they heard the screaming of the monkeys, the rakshasas stood up and clenched their weapons very tightly, ready to fight. Sukha reported the whole situation to Ravana and begged him, please return Sita. You've already seen what one monkey could do to Sri Lanka. There's an ocean, a vast ocean of them. No one could count them, and they're all the same size as Hanuman. And leading them is Ram and Lakshman. And they look like the most compassionate, gentle saviors to the devotees, and death personified to their opposition. Please, return Sita. Ravana became furious, and he ordered Sukha and Sharana, another Rakshasa, disguise yourself as monkeys and go to the encampment of Ram and mix with them and find out everything they're speaking in regard to their war plans. They were obedient. If they didn't obey, they would die at the hands of Ravana. So they disguised themselves as monkeys. And when there's tens and millions of monkeys, it's not that everyone was, checking passports. By their mystic powers, they looked just like the rest of them. But Vibhishan was so intelligent, he immediately spotted them. "They're right in our ranks, disguised as one of our men. But this is Sukha and Sharana." Vibhishan could see right through their mystic disguises, where they had no likeness to their own forms. But still, Vibhishan could see through it by his mystic powers. Oh, when the monkey soldiers found out that these monkeys were pretending to be their own, they started pounding them and biting them and clawing them and punching them and kicking them and rolling them on the ground. And the two were just crying out, "Ram, Ram, save us, Ram, save us." And Ram said, "Anyone who takes shelter of my lotus feet, anyone who sincerely calls out my name, I must give them shelter." We told that story in Sri Rangam about the nature of a devotee's faith in the shelter of the Lord. Parasara Bhatt was walking through the forest one day and he happened to come upon a hunter. And that hunter confessed to Parasarabhatra. He said, I caught 4 rabbits. I trapped them, and I was about to kill them. That is my profession. I do it all the time. But these four rabbits were putting their head on my feet helplessly, depending on me for mercy and compassion. And my heart melted, and I did something I never did before. I freed the rabbits. As soon as Parasarabhatra heard this story, Parasarabhatra fell to the ground unconscious. When he came back to external consciousness, one of his godbrothers asked him, why did that simple story affect you in such a way that you fainted? And Parasarabhatra, he revealed his heart. He said, those rabbits, they do not understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. They do not know this philosophy that if they surrender everything, that they will be delivered. And the hunter, he has not made such a vow, konteya pratijanihimi name bhakta pranashyati. This hunter has never promised that anyone who takes shelter of me, I will deliver them. But still, out of natural compassion, the hunter's heart melted when the rabbits took shelter of him. So how we should have complete faith and conviction that if we take shelter of the Lord, that he will deliver us. Because he has vowed, he has promised. So we should have no hesitation. Why don't we surrender to such a Lord as Krishna? So Ramchandra, he called for Shuka and Sarana. He told the monkeys, release them. He said, Vibhishan, you show them everything they want to see. And you tell them everything that they want to know in truth about our strategy, about our armies, about everything. And let them go back to Ravana and tell. And give Ravana this message. I'm still giving you one more chance. Be honest. Be righteous. Give back Sita. And this war will not happen. Shuka and Sarana then told Sugriva that we have a message of you from Ravana. Said, Ravana never did anything against you. So why are you fighting against him? You should desist from your allegiance to Ram and either go back home or join us. Oh, Sugriva was burning with rage. He tore them down from the sky and started beating them. But Ram rescued them. Ram, save us. Ram said, now you go back to Ravana and you give him our message. They returned. And with full conviction, they pleaded with Ravana. But Dhyayato Vishayam Pungsang, Krishna tells us the whole system of downfall in Bhagavad Gita. When one contemplates the objects of the senses, one develops attachment. From attachment, lust arises. Lust can never be fulfilled because it burns like a raging fire. When lust is unfulfilled, krodha, there is anger. Anger gives rise to a loss of memory, bewilderment. Then one loses one's intelligence. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down into the material pool of degradation. There are three gates leading to this hell, Krishna says. Lust, anger, and greed. And every sane man should give them up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Ravana could not hear. His wife, his brother, his own servants. Because he was a victim of his own vices. Ravana decided to play a trick on Sita, to convince her to surrender to him. There was one Rakshasa. He was some sort of a perverted mystery. He could just create things that looked absolutely realistic by mystic powers. So he ordered this Rakshasa mystery to create a head that was absolutely identical to the head of Lord Ram. And he did. Ravana went to the Ashoka Groves. And then this Rakshasa came with the head of Ram. Ha! Ravana, he turned to Sita. He said, last night, this was early in the morning. He said, last night we fought all night. And we are victorious. We slayed that Hanuman. We slayed the entire Vanara army. And we mercilessly killed Lakshman and your husband, Ram. And for evidence, here is his useless head. Threw it down. When Sita saw the head of Ram, her heart broke. She bent down her head and wept incessantly. Ravana commanded, now Ram is dead. You have no one to protect you except me. I have shown my superiority. Now you become my queen and live, or you will die. Sita was weeping uncontrollably, crying out the name of Ram. crying out, Ram, because of me, you are dead. Because of me, your head was severed. It is all my fault. It is due to my karma. It is due to my bad karma that I have been abducted by Ravana. And because of my bad karma, now you are dead, my Lord. You are slain. How can I live? Ravana, you get out from my face. I will end my own life. Ravana laughed. Said, there are only days remaining. There's no one left who will ever come back to rescue you. Ram and all of his soldiers are dead. There's no hope except in me. And he left. You think about it. Sita was rolling in the ground in agony, weeping and crying. How is this possible? But when no one was around, the wife of Vibhishan, whose name was Sarama, she came into the Ashoka Grove and embraced Sita. She said, Sita, they haven't even begun the war. This is a fake head. It's not real. Ravana has never even seen Ram. He said, in fact, I know exactly what's happening. Ram Lakshman and his army is surrounding Sri Lanka at this very moment. And very soon, they will undoubtedly conquer Ravana, and Ramchandra will personally rescue you. Be hopeful, be happy. Sita was so relieved. The wife of Vibhishan, Sarama, became Sita's very dearest friend while she lived, surrounded by Rakshasas in Sri Lanka. Because Sarama had the same glorious, virtuous, devoted qualities as her husband, Vibhishan. Vibhishan abandoned Sri Lanka, but his wife had no choice. She had to remain there. But she was totally faithful to the cause of her husband to help Sita to return to Ram. Although she fearlessly lived in the midst of all these Rakshasas. And being a woman, her voice was not heard, and she had no power to combat any of them. But her faith and devotion were completely pure. There was a great battle. And in the end, Ravana was killed. Lord Sri Ramchandra was fighting Ravana face to face. Many days passed. Ravana was sending his sons, his generals, his armies. But one after another, they were vanquished by Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman and Sugriva's friends. Until ultimately, after Indrajit was slain, Ravana personally entered the battlefield. And what a battle that was. The battle of Ram and Ravana. A fight that has never been seen. It went on for a long time. Everyone in the battlefield stopped fighting and just watched. It was the match of all matches. But Ram could not kill Ravana. He was severing his heads and severing his arms, and they kept growing back. And who was it that gave Ram the secret? It was Vibhishan. Vibhishan told Ram, you cannot kill him by cutting his heads because he has a benediction from Brahma and benedictions from Shiva that his heads and his arms and any part of his body you sever will grow right back. There is a celestial nectar in his heart, and as long as that's there, nothing can kill him. You must shoot an arrow into his heart that will suck that nectar out, dry it up from his heart, and then he will immediately drop dead. Vibhishan revealed the secret of how the Supreme Lord could kill his own brother, who he loved. This was the nature of his surrender. Lord Ramchandra, just on the outskirts of Panchavati, rendered humble service to the great sage Agastya Muni and received special astra from him. And with that particular astra, the arrow that was given by Agastya Muni with the mantra to chant with it, Sri Ramchandra released. And according to the direction of Vibhishan, it pierced Ravana's heart. All his 10 heads profusely vomited blood as he fell to the ground, slain. Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan Ki Jai! When Ravana was dead, Vibhishan cried in lamentation because he actually loved his brother. Mandodari and all the wives, they came. They were crying and weeping. What will we do, our master? Why didn't you listen to our advice? Why weren't you satisfied with us? Now we are all widows, and all your family, all our children, everyone, all your brothers are dead because of your lust for one woman. They were beating their chests in agony. After the wives were taken away, Lord Ram instructed Vibhishan to perform the last rites for Ravana. Vibhishan told Ram, I cannot do it. I love him as a brother, but he was so wicked, and he was so cruel, and he was so offensive against you, the Lord of my life, and he caused so much pain and torture to the heart of Sita. the very goddess of my heart. He was despicable. I love him, but he was despicable. I cannot perform the last rites for this monster. And Ram instructed Vibhishan, that a wise person must respect the spirit soul in everyone's heart. Because the spirit soul is separate from the body and the mind and the intelligence and the ego. Now that Ravana is dead, he can do no harm to anyone. But his soul is part of God. We can hate the sin, but a devotee will never hate the sinner. A devotee honors and respects the soul in everyone's heart. Even in the rakshasas, even in the demons, even in the animals. Because that soul is a part of God. Ram said to Vibhishan, in honor and respect to his eternal soul, you must perform the last rites with great love and devotion. Vibhishan performed the last rites for Ravana on the order of Ram. Then Ram instructed Lakshman, now go into the city of Lanka and I want you to personally coronate Vibhishan as the king and establish him on the throne. Lakshman coronated Vibhishan on the throne of Sri Lanka. Then Lord Sri Ramchandra orders Hanuman, now you may bring Sita. Hanuman went to the Ashoka Grove, and there was Sita sitting under a tree. Hanuman brought her the good news. Ravana is slain. Indrajit is slain. Kumbhakarna is slain. Vibhishan, the devotee of Lord Ram, has been coronated as king. And Ram is eagerly awaiting to be reunited with you. Sita's heart was trembling with happiness after 10 long, arduous months of being persecuted, tortured, and intimidated by Ravana and surrounded by enemy Rakshasis. Her trials had come to an end. She was about to be reunited with Ram, who she meditated upon in her heart 24 hours a day in deep separation. Ram then instructed Vibhishan to arrange for Sita to have a special bath and then to dress her in fine clothes and ornaments. Vibhishan approached Sita Devi and told her, before you approach Ram, I'm supposed to arrange this bath and precious wardrobe and ornaments for you. But Sita said, forget these formalities. I've been in separation from my beloved so long. Let me just go to see him immediately. I cannot wait even another minute. I cannot even wait another moment. Please, let me see Ram now. But Vibhishan said, this is the Lord's will. So he arranged the bath, and he arranged for her to be decorated beautifully. And then Vibhishan brought her into the presence of Lord Ramchandra. Sita, seeing Ram, was crying in happiness. Ram looked at her and said, Sita, now you are free from Ravana. You can go wherever you want. You can find shelter any place you so desire, because I cannot accept you. You have lived in someone else's house. If I were to accept you, I would be criticized, because a leader, and especially a king, must be above suspicion. So I release you. You go wherever you want. When Ram spoke those words, Sita was weeping, helplessly weeping. Her heart was broken into trillions of pieces. If Ram rejects her, there was no possibility of her living. Crying with a faltering voice and broken heart, she said, Ram, if you reject me, then I have no recourse than to enter fire. She turned to Lakshman and she said, gather wood and prepare a pyre of fire. Ram was Lakshman looked at Ram and he said, Ram, what are you saying? What are you doing? Look at her. She's given her life for you. How can you do this to her? And other well-wishers were speaking the same way to Ram. They were all crying piteously to see Sita's condition. But Ram did not speak a word. Even the great sages and rishis, Ram, you cannot do this to Sita. You cannot reject her. You cannot break her heart. Look at the suffering you're causing her. But Ram was grave, and he looked at Lakshman and nodded his head. Follow Sita's instruction and build the pyre. Lakshman's limbs were trembling in agony. His heart was devastated as he brought trunks of trees and made it into a huge pyre and lit it on fire. Sita, she was crying incessantly, and except for Ram, everyone there was crying incessantly. She circumambulated Ramchandra with folded palms. Then Sita circumambulated the fire with folded palms. And in a faltering voice, she spoke. If for even one moment I never forgot the lotus feet of my beloved Ram, and if my chastity was completely pure, then let me be protected from this blazing fire. With these words, Sita entered the fire. Everyone gasped. People were crying. People were falling to the ground. It was too painful of a sight to see. Even in the heavenly planets, you could hear the gasping of the demigods, the gasping of the sages, and all the Vanara race and Lakshman. They couldn't contain themselves. Sita was engulfed by the flames and disappeared. At that point, even Lord Ram cried in love of separation from Sita. From the fire, Agni Dev emerged with Sita Devi in his arms. She was wearing a red wardrobe and beautiful celestial flowers that were fresh and fragrant coming right out of this blazing fire. And then Agni Dev declared for Ramchandra and all the world to hear that Sita Devi's heart has always been completely pure, faithful, and chaste in your loving service, Lord Ram. Ramchandra wept. Sita wept. And then Ram took Sita by the hand and accepted her. And Lord Ram explained how this was more painful to him than anyone else to have to do. But to lead the proper example of a king, he had to prove to the world that if you take that position, you must be willing to make any sacrifice to be above suspicion. And the queen as well. The reunion of Sitaram was the crescendo of spiritual ecstasy. After almost a year of vipralamba, or separation from each other, the sambhog, or the unity between them, was indescribable spiritual bliss. Not only for Sitaram, but for all their devotees. The Pushpaka airplane was brought, and Ram and Sita were seated side by side. And all the monkey soldiers and all the devotees, with tears of love flowing from their eyes, they were leaping with their arms raised, shouting, Jai Sitaram!
Jai Sitaram!
It was the supreme happiness for every devotee's heart to see Ram and Sita enjoying their pastimes together again. On the aerial airplane of Pushpaka, they came across the ocean to where we are sitting today. Ram, out of his humility, from his heart, was feeling that he must atone for the sin of killing the son of a Brahmin, and also to show the world that whoever you are, however great you are, you must humble yourself and atone for offenses you make. No one is above that law. We should never think that I am so advanced that I can get away with making offenses to others. Great souls have taught this message since time immemorial. In Sri Rangam, we heard about Ramanujacharya. Before he left this world, he was begging forgiveness from every living being who he may have offended, although he never offended anyone. Still, that is the humility of a great soul. Srila Prabhupada did what was absolutely needful to spread Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world, to fulfill the prophecy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. 500 years passed since Lord Chaitanya's prediction that his name would be chanted in villages throughout the world. Prabhupada inaugurated a movement that was to do it. Everything he did was perfect. But still, to set the example for others, even the greatest acharyas were begging forgiveness. His Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was begging forgiveness from all people he may have spoke harshly against, or who for any heart he may have hurt in the execution of his mission. This is the quality of a great soul. Humility. Willing, even if you don't make mistakes, even if you're perfect, to claim that you've made mistakes and beg forgiveness for them. Ravana was a terrorist, a horrible demon. He offended Brahmins, he murdered them. He was spreading irreligion everywhere. He plundered his own half-brother, Kuvera. He kidnapped Ram's own wife and terrorized her. But to set an example, Ram felt that he had to atone for the sin of killing a Brahmin, and also for disrespecting Lord Shiva. Because Ravana was Shiva's devotee, and Ram killed him. So when he came here to Setu Banda, Lord Ram inquired from Agastya Muni, how can I atone for the offense of killing the son of Bishrava, Ravana, and the devotee of Lord Shankar? Agastya Muni said the proper atonement for killing Shiva's devotee is to perform puja to Lord Shiva at this very spot where we are sitting today. You should go to Mount Kailash and request Lord Shiva to give you a lingam and bring it back here and worship it. Ram instructed his most faithful, trusted servitor to carry out this mission. And everyone knows who that great personality is. Shri Hanuman Dev Ki Jai. Hanuman leaped from this place we're sitting today of Setu Banda all the way to Kailash. And there he couldn't find Lord Shiva. He was doing tapasya to get Lord Shiva to come. But meanwhile, Agastya Muni said the auspicious time is coming very quickly. If Hanuman doesn't return, we have to do something. So Hanuman was given by Lord Shiva two Shivalingams. And after he received them, after worshiping Shiva nicely and getting these gifts and these blessings, he leaped. But as he was in the airways, Agastya Muni said, "We have to perform this puja within the next minute." So Sita Devi, with her own loving hands, she formed a Shivalingam out of the sand. And by her prayers, that sandy Shivalingam became solid. And Agastya Muni said, "Time has come. We must do the puja to the sand-made lingam created by the hands of Sita Devi." The puja was performed and completed. And Ram showed the world his humility and set the example for all people to follow for all time to come. As he worshiped that deity of Lord Shiva, Shiva and Parvati personally appeared in that assembly and said, "Anyone who bathes in Dhanushkoti and then does worship with the darshan of this deity made by Sita Devi will be absolved from all sins." Shiva and Parvati then disappeared. Just then, Hanuman appeared, very enthusiastic, with two brand new Shivalingams. And when he saw that all the flowers and all the ghee lamps and all the pujas were complete, he was feeling very sad that he let down his Lord. He was late. Srila Prabhupada said, in deity worship, there are two principles that are most important: cleanliness and punctuality. Hanuman was late. And he felt so bad that he displeased his Lord, he disappointed his Lord. And Ramchandra, he felt so compassion to Hanumanji, who was so humble. that I let you down, my Lord. I'm so useless. My life is a failure. I couldn't do this service for you. This is the nature of a great soul. He did so many unbelievable great things for Ram, but the one thing he was a little late for, he was only seeing that. Instead of saying, I have done this for you, Lord, and I have done that. No, he was saying, my Lord, I'm useless. What kind of servant am I? I let you down. Although he tried his best. Ram wanted to pacify Hanuman. He said, you could move Shiva's ling, you could move Shiva's, I mean Sita's Shiva lingam, and put yours in her play, in the place. Is that your order? Ram said, yes. Hanuman tried to move Sita Shiva lingam, but it would not move. This was the personality who with one hand carried entire mountains for thousands of miles in the air. Yes? Hanuman could uproot a mountain and one hand carry it. He could rip off mountain peaks. But he couldn't move the Shiva lingam. And when he put his, when he tried to move it, he felt the power of Sita Devi's love within it. And he understood that Sita Devi's love is a power far, far greater than my own. And with honor and respect, with folded hands, he honored Sita Devi's installation. Ramchandra declared to Hanuman that your Shiva Linga will be known as Vishwanath. And Sita's Shiva Linga will be known as Rameshwaram. And we will install yours to the north of Rameshwaram. And it is my declaration that those who want to please me for all time to come, should first worship your Shiva Lingam and then come to worship Sita's Shiva Lingam. Hanuman felt so very happy at the compassionate, soft-hearted nature of Lord Ram to his devotee. Danush Tirtha is place where that great bridge extended to Sri Lanka. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport we read this morning that when they came back from Sri Lanka after the war was over, Vibhishan asked Lord Ram to dismantle the bridge. So Ramchandra, with the end of his bow, he touched the bridge at that point and dismantled it. Danush Tirtha is the confluence of two oceans. Confluences are oftentimes very sacred. At Prayag, there is the confluence of Ganga, Jamuna, Saraswati. At Nasik or Panchavati, there is the confluence of the Godavari and Kapila rivers. In Varanasi, there is the confluence of the Vara and Nasi rivers. So many places where rivers converge are very holy places. Danush Tirtha is a place eternally sanctified by the pastimes of Lord Sri Ram, eternally blessed by the mercy of Sri Ram. At that place, which is also called Setu Bandha, the Bay of Bengal and the Indian Ocean converge together. Srila Prabhupada writes that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first bathed there and then came to take the darshan of Rameshwar, the temple we are sitting today. So following in Lord Chaitanya's footprints, according to the direction of Lord Shiva himself, and the system established by Sri Ram, tomorrow, for all of those who wish to participate, we will be going to Danush Tirtha. And then we will come back for the darshan of Vishwanath, Bhagavan Shiva, and Rameshwar. For the Shivites, Rameshwar means Shiva, who is the Lord of Ram. And for the Vaishnavs, Rameshwar means Ram, who is the Lord of Shiva. And I don't have to explain which of these opinions we accept. Prabhupada has firmly established in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because the Lord loves to worship his devotee. There are so many beautiful examples how Krishna bathed the feet of Sudama Vipra and worshipped him. How Ramchandra would daily bathe the feet, massage, and do menial service to Vishwamitra Muni. The Lord takes great pleasure in worshiping and serving his devotee. And our understanding based on Shastra is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Of all rivers, the Ganges is most pure. Of all books, Srimad Bhagavatam is most pure. And of all Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the greatest. So here is a place where Ram showed such ecstatic love for his greatest devotee, Lord Shiva. In fact, Hanuman is an amsa, an expansion of Lord Shiva, greatest Vaishnava. So there is no confusion for devotees who understand the philosophy of the scripture. There is no glorification that pleases Lord Shiva most is when we worship him and show our love for him as the greatest of the devotees of Krishna. And there is no greater way to attract the supreme heartfelt blessings of Lord Shiva than with humble and loving hearts loudly chanting Krishna's holy name. Sri Rameshwar Bhagavan Ki Jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Go Premanandi.